الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتفكرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, what was recited was a very short and concise hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Preceding that was an ayat of the Quran Sharif, which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives an example, and the hadith Sharif gives the same example. The example is the example of a tree. What is being compared with the tree? In the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala gives the example of kalimatun tayyiba, the pure kalima of Islam, Iman. Iman is being given the description of a tree. The similarity is being drawn with a tree. What kind of tree? Kashajaratin tayyiba, a most pure tree, excellent tree. And Allah Ta'ala describes this tree, asluha sabit, that its roots are firmly embedded deep down in the ground. Can't be shaken. وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, and its branches are high up into the skies. So the roots are deep down in the ground, and the branches are high up in the sky. And then it's not just a tree to be looked at. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا, that it gives off its fruit at every instant with the permission of its Rabb. Now this is the tree of Iman that Allah Ta'ala is describing for us. And this description or the similarity that is being drawn with the tree is to bring to our mind and heart some very deep messages about what Iman should all be about. What is this Iman supposed to be like? So to expand on this description or the similarity that the Quran Sharif gave in this ayat of the Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us a similar example in the Hadith Sharif. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'ba." That Iman is like a tree that has more than 70 branches. Are we talking about the tree of Iman, which Allah Ta'ala describes in the Quran Sharif with its roots firmly deep down in the ground and its branches high up in the sky? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this tree of Iman has more than 70 branches. And فَأَفْضَلُهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, the greatest branch of Iman, which is the very essence of it itself, the very trunk from which the rest of the branches come, and it is what actually is the seed of Iman that then gives rise to this trunk, is لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So la ilaha illallah, this is the root of Iman. This root of Iman, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, is deep down in the ground. The roots are not just on the surface. Slight wind of some sort comes and it blows it over. Any kind of ideology which is averse to Islam also comes, and that wind just blows a person's Iman over. Somebody gets caught up in some theory of all kinds of things and just blows his Iman over. No, Iman is not like this. The Iman of a person is deep down, rooted deep down in his heart. And he doesn't get affected by all these winds of all the various ideologies and things that are averse to the Quran and Sunnah. Somebody comes and says something that is against the honor and the sanctity of the Quran Sharif, something against the Hadith Sharif, something against the personalities of the Sahaba Ikram, and all kinds of ideologies. So this person's iman doesn't get affected by all this. He sticks to that which is authentic, he sticks to people who are authentic. He doesn't get carried away by any eloquent words. So in any case, this is the firm roots of iman in the hearts of a person. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَفْضَلُهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that the most important branch, the greatest branch, is the saying of La ilaha illallah. One is this very iman, and then is the refreshing of this iman repeatedly. The words of the Hadith Sharif have a very deep message for us. قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, saying La ilaha illallah. One is the saying of La ilaha illallah to enter into iman itself. But the Sahaba would often meet one another, they would say, Ta'al nujaddidu imanana biqawli la ilaha illallah. Let us refresh our iman by saying la ilaha illallah. They have iman already, but they want to refresh this iman. The question for us is, how often we refresh our iman? At least once in a day, 100 times a person should be refreshing this iman. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the person who says La ilaha illallah 100 times daily, Allah Ta'ala will cause his face to shine like the 14th moon on the day of Qiyamah. Because when he keeps refreshing this iman, by verbalizing this refreshing, then inshallah it will refresh his amal also. When he keeps refreshing his iman by words, inshallah it will bring him onto action. It will not be possible that he keeps saying La ilaha illallah 100 times daily, sincerely, deeply from the heart, and then he will start acting against the dictates of this iman. So the time of salah comes and he doesn't give any attention to it. Any temptation of any sin comes and he just dives headlong into it. That won't happen. The effect of this constant recitation of La ilaha illallah will strengthen that iman, which will drive him towards everything he should be doing, and which will become a barrier between him and sin. Then obviously the direct entry into Jannah is for him. So this is the first aspect that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, فَأَفْضَلُهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So this iman is something to be worked on. It's not something that will just remain where it is without any effort. This is the tree that is being described. For a tree to remain fruit-bearing, for it to remain very, very lush and being very attractive, all the various other descriptions that can be given, it requires ongoing effort, watching it, pruning it, and trimming it, and doing all kinds of things. And for it to become unruly, for that place, for that garden to become a jungle, all that is required is do nothing. Do nothing and the garden will become a jungle. But to keep it a garden, then there's a daily effort. So this is part of that daily effort, to be reciting La ilaha illallah, to be listening to the words of iman, to be speaking the words of iman. These are the daily things that a person has to do to be refreshing this iman. So in any case, this is the first aspect Rasulullah also mentions, فَأَفْضَلُهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاتَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. And the smallest branch of iman, the smallest branch is comparatively speaking smallest. That if there's a skyscraper 100 story high and there's another one alongside it 50 stories, and a third one 25 stories, then this is the smallest. But the smallest is also 25 stories high. It's comparatively speaking smallest. But otherwise that in itself too is a skyscraper. So the smallest branch of iman is also a huge branch in itself. But comparatively speaking, it's the smallest of the 70 odd branches. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِمَاتَةُ الْأَذَاءَ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ, removing anything that will inconvenience somebody out of the way. Inconvenience anybody. Something that will cause any taklif, any inconvenience, any trouble, any difficulty to somebody. Now he is not looking at it as whether I was responsible for this or not. Something is in the pathway, something that will cause some kind of inconvenience, somebody has to now step aside, somebody has to walk around it. Or it is some kind of mess, person passing by, he will feel uncomfortable. It might be giving off an odor, maybe, or maybe not. But in any case, it's causing some kind of disturbance to the next person. So a person who has true iman in his heart, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is saying that branch of iman that is alive will not allow him to just pass by without moving that out of the way, so that it doesn't cause any inconvenience. Now this is the dictates of his iman. That somebody else caused the difficulty, somebody else was the person responsible for this aspect, for this thing that's lying in the way, or for whatever is going to be causing some kind of discomfort to others. The dictates of a person's iman doesn't allow him to pass by without putting it right. Now if this is the level of a person's iman, that he has the smallest branch of iman alive in him, the smallest branch of iman, that this is alive in his heart, and this is alive in his life, then he will not go by without moving out somebody else's issue, some problem somebody else caused. Will this level of iman then ever allow him to cause difficulty to others? When somebody else was responsible, he doesn't walk past without setting it right, without removing it. Will he be dropping things in people's way? Now one is the way in terms of the pathway that people walk on. The other is people's lives. Will he be causing takleef and difficulty to people physically, emotionally, financially, by doing somebody down, defrauding somebody, emotionally, by the manner in which a person sometimes deals with people, how he talks to them, how he considers others, whether it is those within the four walls of his home, whether in the workplace, whether in society, whether in the masjid for that matter. Because this is a very elementary part of deen, among the fundamentals of deen. Just as the extremely important aspect of deen is hukukullah, the rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which include all the aspects of iman and deen, our ibadat, person's salah, his fasting, his zakat, his hajj, refraining from sin. This is fundamental. Likewise, hukukul ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah ta'ala. This is also fundamentally important. And if a person has been shirking in the rights of the servants of Allah ta'ala, hurting somebody, swearing at someone, harming somebody financially, causing some other kind of difficulty to someone, backbiting a person, on the day of Qiyamah, the fear is he might lose all his ibadat as well. As in one hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ once asked the Sahaba, that who is a pauper? Who is a bankrupt person? The Sahaba replied and said, the bankrupt person who's got nothing, no material wealth, doesn't have a cent. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, I'm talking about that person. That kind of bankrupt person is no bankrupt person. Because this bankruptcy of dunya, today a person has nothing, tomorrow he's got everything. Today he's got everything, tomorrow he's got nothing, he just keeps turning. Allah Ta'ala save us from all the trials and tribulations of dunya as well. But this bankruptcy of dunya is a very minor thing. The pauper of dunya, life goes today, he doesn't have any issue left in terms of dunya. He has to worry about his akhirat. So this is a very small, minor issue. The real issue is where there's no comebacks. Person can't make amends. He can't go and recoup it later. That is the day of Qiyamah. That is the day of judgment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says, the pauper of my ummah is the one who comes on the day of judgment. He comes with a lot of good deeds. He performed his salah, he fasted in the month of Ramadan, he gave zakat, he gave charities, and he performed hajj, and he did a lot of good things. But he came in a condition that he had been harming people. وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا, that he was swearing at people, which unfortunately sometimes becomes like a fashion. The slightest irritation and a person is using all kinds of vulgarities, whether it is in home, at home, to his own wife and children, whether it is in the workplace, whether it is somewhere else, the slightest irritation and all kinds of vulgarities are coming out of his mouth. Whereas a mu'min, his tongue, his heart is pure, his tongue is clean. He says things that endear, he says things that bring about muhabba. And if he has to rectify some wrong also, he does it in the right manner. He doesn't rectify a wrong in the wrong manner. Otherwise sometimes there's one wrong that he's rectifying, but the way he goes about rectifying it, he's done 10 wrongs. So وَقَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا, it's come on the day of Qiyamah, but he was swearing at people. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا, he slandered somebody. وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا, he usurped somebody's wealth. He took somebody for a ride, as they say. Defrauded someone. Didn't pay his creditors. Whatever else. وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا, وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا, وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, he hurt somebody, he assaulted someone. All these things are left over hanging on his head. He will come on the day of Qiyamah. On that day also there will be claims. All those who were hurt in dunya will come and claim. I want to be recompensed. But there's no rands and cents and pounds and dollars on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, the currency will be a'mal, good deeds. All the person's good deeds now will be used to pay out. And the person now who was harmed, who was sworn at, he'll be told, take so much. The person whose money was usurped, or some other financial problem or difficulty was given to him, you take away so much. You take away so much. As a result, the person, all his good deeds have been dished out. And now the line of claimants is still not yet finished. When the line of claimants is not finished, how is it going to be settled? Okay, what's your claim? My claim is this person hurt me in this way. Okay, he's got nothing to give you, you give him your sins. Now he's taking on people's sins in return for the harm he did to them in dunya. So all the good deeds he came with, all got dished out, and now he's taking the sins of people onto his head. Then thereafter Rasulullah says that the sins of people will be then loaded onto him, and ثُمَّ يُقْزَفُ فِي النَّارِ, thereafter this person will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam with the sins of others. So this is how delicate the matter of حُقُوقُ الْعِبَاد is, the rights of people. That while sometimes a person, mashallah, is fulfilling the rights of Allah Ta'ala, which is essential, without that also he can't get direct entry into Jannah. That too is fundamental. But Allah forbid, if he was not careful about hukukul ibad and the rights of people, he will even lose out what good he did in terms of the rights of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the tree of Iman that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is describing. وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاتَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ, that the smallest branch of Iman is to remove something that will cause difficulty to others out of the way. If a person brings this branch of Iman alive in his life, he will be the last one, and he'll never be the last one also, who will deliberately cause difficulty to somebody else. Mistake insan is insan, he will then immediately make amends for the mistake too. He will want to undo that. He will go and ask for forgiveness if he said something by mistake. Or he did something by mistake, he will go and remedy that. So this is the smallest branch of Iman. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Haya, modesty, shame, these words don't even convey, the translation of haya is not possible in these words. The reality can't be conveyed. This just gives some kind of understanding. That the shame and modesty, this is a very huge branch of Iman. And the shame and modesty that Deen speaks about is way beyond what we understand as the concept of shame and modesty. It's far deeper. It's whatever we understand and much more. This is a branch of Iman, a very, very huge branch of Iman. If this branch of Iman dies off, Iman itself is in danger. As in one hadith, Rasulullah says that Iman and Haya, Iman and shame and modesty, they coexist. إِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخَرِ. When one goes, the other will go with it. If there's no shame left, then very soon Iman will leave. Because the person who is shameless, he'll do anything. As in one hadith, Rasulullah says, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفْعَلْ مَا شَيْتَ. If you've lost your shame, you'll do what you want. A person won't be concerned about Allah Ta'ala, then he won't even be concerned about people too. He'll say, in my life, I have a choice of doing what I want. Really, do we have a choice? Are we not the creation of Allah Ta'ala? Are we not His slaves and servants? Has Allah Ta'ala not placed restrictions upon us of how to live? And how to live so that we live as good human beings. We live as people who are truly the servants of Allah Ta'ala and who are a boon to the mankind as well. This is the commands that Allah Ta'ala has given us in the Quran Sharif, and the beautiful and noble lifestyle of Rasulullah, which he set as an example. That if we take this within us and live this, then we will be living as good human beings to start off with. And then a person progresses to where the angels can't reach. So this is not our life, we do as we wish, as we can, whatever we wish, whatever desire comes. No, Allah Ta'ala has given us a code of life. We are believers, we have iman. A person with iman, then a person with iman submits himself entirely to Allah Ta'ala. Then he doesn't have a choice of his own. Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was told, you slaughter that son of yours. Whatever Allah Ta'ala's command, Allah's command, that has to be done. It's a different matter after that, Allah didn't allow it to happen. But he set out to do it. Allah's command. So likewise, Allah Ta'ala's command to us is, from morning till evening, how to live our lives as true mu'mineen. This is an iman. How to live our lives as believers. Whether it is a time of salah, a person is responding to the call of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it is any other injunction of deen, he is fulfilling as required. Anything Allah Ta'ala has prohibited and forbidden, then he says, this is the command of my Allah, I should not indulge in this. It's a temptation to look at something haram, he reflects on the command of Allah Ta'ala. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes. Now this is part of that haya also. That a person haya in his eyes, haya in his heart, he's not keeping his heart engaged in all kinds of filth. He's not looking at filth. He's not listening to all kinds of evil. And he's conducting himself, as in one hadith, Rasulullah said to one person, that have haya from Allah Ta'ala. Have modesty and shame from Allah Ta'ala. Just as you would be modest and you would have shame in front of a very noble and prominent person of your community. Some senior prominent person of the community who everybody respects very greatly, and now you are in his presence. Now a person who is in the presence of somebody very, very prominent, very pious, very elderly, very saintly person of the community, everybody looks up to him, and now he's in his presence. Now is he going to take his phone out and talk, look at all kinds of filth? Is he going to be talking all kinds of vulgarities? Is he going to be talking about obscenities? So at least that much of haya that a person will have for this kind of human being, he should have for Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is watching everything. Allah is watching what is in his heart also. Allah Ta'ala knows, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورُ. Knows the deception of the eye and what the heart conceals. This is the least level of haya Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying we should have. So this is the tree of iman. The greatest branch of iman is La ilaha illallah itself. The smallest branch of iman that we start becoming conscious of even some other person's problem that he dropped in the way, somebody else's inconvenience, we moving it out. That will bring us to be such concerned persons that we don't cause taklif to anybody. And this aspect of haya, to bring this into our lives, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.